Thank you very much, and thank you, Jericho, for that kind introduction. Now, as the Secretary of State, we do diplomacy, which means you have to get the protocol right. So, howdy.
Howdy. It's
great to be in Texas, one of the greatest countries in the world. You know, yeah, I just came back from South America, now Texas, and I'll return to the United States in the morning, yes. You know, seeing you all here reminds me of George Patton quote. He said, give me an army of West Point graduates and I'll win a battle. But if you give me a handful of Texas Aggies, I'll win a war. Now, that's tough to take from a West Point graduate. Look, I understand that this institution has sent more of its graduates into the military than any other university other than our military academies. It's because you all are tough, you're committed, and you want to serve. You should be proud of that, and I love it. And it's why I really wanted to be here today. I want to thank the Wiley family for making this series possible. You know, like Jessica said, everyone here, cadets, Bush School students, anyone looking to give back to America, should consider potentially one day working for the United States Department of State. Now, I know, I get it. Diplomacy doesn't sound as thrilling as firing anti-tank weapons, flying F-16s, crawling through the mud. There's no Top Gun version at the State Department. Instead, we get Madam Secretary. No offense to Tia Leone, those of you who are her fans. But there's a good reason that many former military officers end up working as diplomats serving our country. It's because the work that we do is important for our soldiers. The soldiers need us, and we need them. Neither diplomacy nor the military can succeed at delivering for presidents and for our country without the other. And I'm not the first guy to figure this out. In 1946, President Truman was traveling. President Truman was traveling with Winston Churchill to Missouri, where Churchill would deliver his famous Iron Curtain speech. He delivered it there at Westminster at a local college. On the train, Truman showed Churchill a recent redesign of the presidential seal. The eagle's head was turned to the right, so it faced the talons holding olive branches. Now, that represented diplomacy. But rather than having the eagle turn to face the arrows, which represented war, Churchill pondered for a moment, and he said, you know, I think the head should be on a swivel. Back and forth. In other words, diplomacy and military strength go hand in hand. They are indeed intimately related. Each relies on the other. You know, I saw this as a young Army captain way back in the 1980s when I patrolled that very Iron Curtain that Churchill spoke about. I had the incredible privilege, along with my fellow soldiers, we were there to deter the Soviets and indeed prepare this country for the worst. But ultimately, it wasn't our tanks that delivered that victory. It was diplomacy, backed by the credible threat of force that we had projected. You know, Aggies have a long history in the military, but you also have a long history serving America's diplomatic mission at the State Department, and I'd love that to continue. If you join us, if you work, it will make a difference in the life of every American. Now, I'm going to speak just for a couple more minutes because I want plenty of time to take your questions. But before I do, I want to talk briefly about three aspects of my life, of the State Department's work. First, it's an incredible element of promoting national security. As they did during the Cold War, diplomats build relationships to ensure that disagreements never boil over into military conflict. Take Jerrica, you just heard from, and her team. They're talking to Mexican authorities to alleviate migrant crisis and to secure our border. Her colleagues are confronting the opioid crisis by encouraging partners to cut off the drug flow, that fentanyl that comes in the United States and wreaks so much destruction. Just a few months ago, we saw the announcement that China made that they would do their part to deny fentanyl access to our country. It was State Department's diplomats who sealed that deal. And farther from home, the state has helped grow the ranks of the Defeat ISIS Coalition, an enormous victory. We've seized back 100% of the caliphate, liberating millions of Syrians, American diplomats were at the center of creating that coalition and reducing threats to our citizens. Just this morning, I spoke with our ambassador, who's working to bring peace in Afghanistan. There's another graduate of this fine institution, a young lady named Melissa. She's supporting our work there to broker peace between the Taliban and the Afghan government. We're trying to end the longest war in United States history and save the lives of Afghans and American soldiers alike. Or take a man named Steve Began, a truly remarkable fellow. He's one of my special reps. He's working on the North Korea file. His team has gotten an international coalition together to put the toughest sanctions in history on Chairman Kim Jong-un and his country. But Steve's work is also important in that we are keeping the door open, working to achieve a diplomatic outcome where North Korea will be denuclearized in a way that brings peace to the peninsula. You know, Steve and our team have gotten enormous results. I was privileged to be in North Korea, where Kim Dong-chol, Kim Hak-sung, and Tony Kim were able to climb on an American airplane and return home from to their families from being held hostage in that country, a remarkable diplomatic achievement. Indeed, I'll never forget the moment, the very moment when they met their families on the tarmac. President Trump was there to greet them too. And I was thinking that morning, it was 3 a.m. Washington, D.C. time, about the amazing work that our team had done, not just that day, but in the weeks and months before that. Absent that great work, absent the work of people like you who decided to join the Department of State, that will still be held in the hands of the North Koreans. You know, the second thing we do every day at the State Department, people don't truly see directly. We make sure that our diplomacy impacts the American people by strengthening the United States economy. The truth is, we have to compete in a global economy. The United States business need access to markets all across the world. President Trump is determined to open those markets for our products. That's certainly true of companies and businesses here in Texas, where exports benefit your economy to the tune of $260 billion a year. It supports more than 900,000 Texas jobs. And we help. We help by supporting these economic opportunities through our diplomats. We work to open these markets with our some 1,600 economic officers stationed all across the world. We try to take down barriers. We try to make the case for American companies and why they can deliver true value to nations all across the world. Indeed, it's the case that there is seldom an engagement. I was in South America just before coming here today. Not a single one of my conversations, not in Chile, not in Peru or Paraguay or in Colombia, did we not miss the opportunity to make sure they understood that America was there prepared to help create value for their countries as well. You've seen it in the work we've done to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement. But you should know it's more than just commerce. There's a strategic element to this too. In Houston last month, I spoke to a group to talk about how energy impacts each and every one of us, how there is a national security component to America's capacity to deliver energy all around the world. We watch as a pipeline is being built in Europe, which will tether Germany to Russia in a way that is not good for German security or security of the United States of America. The work that's being done here in Texas and Kansas and Oklahoma, all of the energy fields and in North Dakota, if done well, can work with our diplomacy to deliver true security, not only to America, but to Europe as well. And you should know, Aggies are also helping state create a program to transport excess natural gas from right here in Texas to the Dominican Republic so it can be sold throughout the Caribbean. We want to make sure the lights are on for your next spring break. We've got another team. A team's working to warn our friends and partners against buying Chinese 5G technology and build out their infrastructure with Chinese equipment. These are companies like Huawei, which will take your private information and transfer it to the Chinese government. It makes no sense, and American diplomats are at the forefront of sharing this information with the world. None of us want our privacy, our freedom, falling into the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. The final thing before I close. The State Department helps with our American diplomats promoting and protecting our values, indeed our very way of life. The U.S. is the global standard bearer for democracy, for freedom, for liberty, and for human rights as well. If we don't speak up, no one else will. A few months back, the United States made the decision to leave the United Nations Human Rights Council. We did so because it had become under the control of authoritarians and dictators, people that didn't really care about human rights. We made the decision to move our embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing facts on the ground. And our diplomats are, even as we speak, all across the world promoting American values and human rights all across the globe. We're working on various missions, including making sure that the nature of Chinese Orwellian systems, particularly their clampdown on people of faith, are impacting us right here at home. You know, I recently had the privilege to meet with a group of Uyghur Muslims that came to my office. They talked about systemic imprisonment. They talked about oppression and even torture happening in parts of China today. This cannot be allowed to stand. We're exerting maximum pressure to change the very nature of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to make sure that that regime simply behaves like a normal country and does not spread terror throughout the world. Today, as we stand here, Iran is engaged in conducting an assassination campaign throughout Europe. Our diplomats are working to push back against them so this will stop. And my most recent trip was part of the effort that's being led by the Organization for America States and the Lima groups as we work to restore human rights and democracy in Venezuela. I know that we will ultimately be successful and that Mr. Maduro will leave that country. You know, our diplomats also go on offense to promote American values, in part simply by building and maintaining a set of relationships that are centrally important to our country. These deep friendships matter as time moves on. Jerrica mentioned some of the work that she does with the youth in Ciudad Juarez. That's a long-term investment in our relationship with our partners to the south in Mexico. We trust that the young people that she's working with will come to understand America, that they will come to understand how much we care about them. And when it's their time to lead, they will become good partners for our great nation. You know, we do something different on a truly national scale as well with foreign aid. We provide assistance to countries like no other country in the world. Our goal is often to turn struggling nations into strong, long-term partners, democratic partners for the United States. And in times of crisis, when we've offered a hand, I can tell you that people like Melissa, the former Aggie stationed there in Afghanistan today, will benefit from the American aid which we've provided to that country. You know, about 4 years ago, Melissa was in a tour in Nepal when a devastating earthquake hit that country, killing nearly 9,000 people. She said it was one of her proudest moments as an American diplomat. She watched as the embassy rallied to the people's side, allowing those in need to come seek services at our embassy, to shower and to seek food and shelter at the American embassy. You know, for her next tour, she went to Kabul. And just moments after she landed, another earthquake. Everyone in the airport thought it was an explosion, but she knew. She'd been through this before. She next traveled to Mexico City. The year was 2017. You'll all remember. It was one of the most devastating earthquakes to hit the Mexico City in decades. And Melissa saw the great work that the embassy did to make sure that the people of Mexico City got back on their feet. I made sure that Melissa did not come to visit with us today. She will tell you that as a diplomat, there was nothing more rewarding than watching American excellence, American graciousness, American resources and power to meet and help people in times of adversity. This is the life of an American diplomat, and a noble undertaking, and one of true public service. You know, there's a story. It's about President Reagan's Secretary of State, Secretary George Shultz. He understood diplomacy. He would meet with our ambassadors as they went to the field. He would ask every ambassador who came by his office just before they went out for their first assignment. He would give them a pop quiz. He would take them over to the side of his room. He would point them to a globe, and he would ask them, he would say, now that you've been confirmed by the United Senate, point to the country that you now represent. And they'd all fail, because they'd point to the country which they were leaving. Indeed, the correct place to point for every one of our diplomats is their service to the United States of America. Secretary of State Shultz knew that. President Reagan knows that. President Trump and I know that too. I know that you all have a tremendous sense of duty, a tremendous sense of service. I hope that today you can see that America's State Department is committed to living up to those standards. And if our mission appeals to you after your time serving elsewhere, we would love to have you come be part of our team. Thank you all for letting me be here today. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Good luck. God bless you. And I look forward to taking your questions. Thank you.